the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, this is Prime Cuts, the best of the Colin Cowherd Podcast. Great week. Nick Wright, fantastic insight on Patrick Mahomes. Good stuff, really. Former Bear head coach Dave Wannstedt, love Justin Fields, and talk some Cowboys, too. And Chad Millman and I, best bets of the week. Good week. But first, my top takes. Everybody's got an opinion on Aaron Rodgers. So one of the things I've realized, because I wanted to be Howard Cosell when I was 8 years old, so I've been really opinionated since I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And because of that, I've gotten pushback, blowback, gotten to arguments, been a villain in many parties I've been at. I am comfortable with that. I am okay with athletes talking about politics and non-sports ventures, being activists, but just know going in, you're going to get the smoke. And even in my career as a sports caster in the opinion space, about 75% of the people that do it don't like the smoke, and they soften up their views on the air. Rachel Maddow can handle the smoke. Tucker Carlson can handle the smoke. Ted Cruz can handle the smoke. Bernie Sanders can handle the smoke. You know who can't? LeBron James, who said, "I hated being a villain," when he went to Miami. LeBron James, who in the last year has talked less about politics. And you know who else doesn't like the smoke? Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't matter what you and I think about him being vaccinated or not. That's his decision. But Aaron rambling for 18 minutes on Pat McAfee's YouTube page on his show, that's fine. But he didn't have the self-awareness to realize he's always been thin-skinned. He's always been sensitive. And you ramble for 18 minutes on something that's not about sports, and you're going to get the smoke. And then Aaron finally yesterday said, "I'm not an advocate. I'm not an activist. I'm an athlete. I'm going to go back to playing ball." Again, I am for the athlete to have an opinion, but we live in an incredibly polarized nation. And once you move into politics, vaccines, legislation, you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. You have to have the self-awareness to know, do I have a chin? Aaron's great. He doesn't have a chin. Kevin Durant's great. He doesn't have a chin. LeBron's got a stronger chin, but not a great chin. That's the reality of it. It doesn't matter what you and I think. What Aaron told you yesterday on the McAfee show is, "I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I want to go back to playing football." I want to talk about Urban Meyer, who with arguably the worst roster in the NFL and a rookie quarterback beat a great head coach, a great roster, and a great quarterback in Josh Allen with the probably worst roster in the NFL. Folks, I put a wet blanket on it 6 months ago, a month ago. I'll put a wet blanket on it again. He's not going to USC. He's not going to LSU. He has been paid a fortune. He and his wife love Florida. They love that Jacksonville area. And now, I am not saying after 2 years, if Urban won 2 games this year and 4 next year, and just it didn't work, I could see him saying, "You know, I love Trevor Lawrence. I want to get the right coaches in here. I'm done. You know, give me 75% of the money promised." I get it. It would look too weird for him to leave after 1 year. Secondly, look at Brian Flores right now in Miami. They have a much better roster. They are struggling. We love Joe Judge in New York. He is struggling. By and large, you're about as good as your roster. Jacksonville's roster is terrible. And this idea, and I've talked about this before, there are so many people that cover the NFL that were so opposed to Urban Meyer walking in and succeeding early that he really entered with an anti-Urban agenda from a good portion of the NFL writers. I don't know how successful he's going to be, but folks, it's not science. It's football coaching. Buddy Ryan won a lot of games. Mike Ditka won a Super Bowl. These aren't geniuses. Belichick's mom spoke seven languages. He's different and therefore has dominated the league for 20 years. But the average football coach, for anybody listening to me who's a successful professional, education, law, anything, had you taken up coaching, you would be as smart as a football coach, or perhaps smarter. This idea that Urban was going to be overwhelmed by it. My concern with Urban Meyer was a simple one. Can he build a staff? Because I think there were a lot of doubts in NFL circles. Is this guy a good fit? A lot of these college guys have failed. So I don't love his offensive staff. But this idea yesterday, Sean McDermott, Bills, Josh Allen, folks, there's an argument to be made. That's the best team in the AFC. And Urban Meyer beat him with a rookie quarterback and a lousy roster. Urban may not work, but we wouldn't give a quarterback eight games and bail on him. Why would we give a coach building a culture eight games? Just be reasonable. Just be fair about it. I thought it was funny that OBJ, once he was no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns, the first team he mentioned he wanted to play for was the Seattle Seahawks. And then yesterday it was reported he wants to now play for the Packers. Well, isn't that interesting? Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Almost every receiver in the league wants to play with them. And I want to be adopted by Elon Musk. That's not really the way it works. OBJ, you're really not understanding how the game works. They'll get a hold of your agent. You won't decide where you land. And I think there's a distinction here. Carmelo Anthony is a great example. It took Carmelo to get over himself, for him to really ever over-deliver in his career. He was always a really good scorer. And then he eroded because he never took great care of his body. And he had injuries pile up. And remember when he laughed when it was suggested he could come off the bench for Oklahoma City? But the truth was, that's what he'd become as a player. Much like OBJ has become a number two or three receiver on a good team. And so, until Carmelo Anthony could wrap his arms around what he truly was, which is a very productive bench player, now with the Lakers, until he could understand that, come to terms with it, it wasn't going to work. So Carmelo goes to the Lakers. He is now averaging 17 points a game off the bench. He is one of the best bench players in the league because he came to terms with what he is. OBJ is never healthy. You cannot build a franchise around him. He is brittle. He can be, on a weak receiving unit, a number two. On a receiving unit like, say, the Rams, Dallas, maybe he's a three. Until he comes to terms with that, he's going to be Carmelo Anthony. And it took Carmelo about 5 years from being a starter to really not being capable of starting on a top team for him to understand it. OBJ, you are no longer a one. Nobody can build around you. You're simply not healthy enough. Hi, it's The Herd for FanDuel. Monday Night Football matchup, Rams-Niners. Rams are -4. I'd probably take the Niners +4. It's a divisional matchup. It's perhaps Garoppolo's last start. He's fighting for his job. In this matchup, Kyle Shanahan has had Sean McVay's number. I do think the Rams were embarrassed. I would not be surprised if the Rams won and covered. But listen, same game parlays. There's a lot of different things you can go here. I would probably take the 49ers and the under because I don't think the 49ers can win a shootout. And I think the 49ers know they can't win a shootout. Listen, FanDuel Sportsbook's the best. Easy to use, safe and secure. And you can win $150 in a $5 bet. Seriously. Just when you win, you can get paid in under 2 hours. Check it out. FanDuel America's number one sportsbook. $150 in a $5 bet. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This is an easy one, right? 30-1 odds. I like the Niners, and I like the under. A same game parlay. Win some money. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. All right, here's my buddy Nick Wright. So let's start with this. Everybody knows my assertion with Aaron, which has always been he's a narcissist, he's into Aaron, he's pretty selfish. When you can't get along with multiple members of your family, I've always been really skeptical. And his comments about, you know, I'm a critical thinker, as if anybody that gets a vaccine, you're not a critical thinker. The idea that he gave 500 pages of anti-vax and ineffective mask, that is weird. Like, and he was asked what the NFL thought, and he said, well, they thought it was a whack. Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah.
That's what people do on that have 9 followers on Twitter and have a name like Jack with 13 numbers behind it. Like, the people that think they've got the secret remedy.
It's just incredibly arrogant.
Kyle. Yeah, yeah.
It's just incredibly arrogant. The idea, and this isn't just Aaron, it's a lot of folks. But folks that think, I mean, here's what I would ask. Pardon me here. The fuck do you think people are doing for 8 years in medical school? Playing Candy Crush? Like, these folks that are acting like, I've solved it. Well, what'd you do? I dedicated a weekend. You dedicated a weekend? These poor suckers are doing 40-hour rotations or in a lab or conducting experiments. And it's just, I would never. And it's so odd that people have gone this route on science and medicine. Could you imagine if I went? I don't even know what a good comp is, but I go to the mechanic and I'm like, hey, you rebuilt that engine wrong. How do you know? I watched a YouTube video. What? Like, no, he's an expert. He's trained. I just can't believe the arrogance of guys. And let me say something else about it real quick. If Aaron Rodgers actually thought he had discovered something about vaccines, it's incredibly selfish to not share it with the world. Like you cracked something, evidently. You tell everyone. Don't be cagey. Oh, I'm immunized. I didn't want to say. If you've uncovered one of the greatest conspiracies in the history of modern America, you should let the world know. But I don't know.
There's also coding. When somebody says, like Aaron, I don't care what anybody thinks, that is code for I care what everybody thinks. And Aaron has always been super sensitive, so he's gone into hiding now. By the way, I think this is being lost. The Packers no longer have the number one seed in the NFC. Arizona does. They will not have the number two seed if the Rams win. And by the way, a dome team, Rams, and a warm weather team, Tampa, could have played in January in Lambeau, a significant break for Green Bay. If they lose, so they don't have the number one seed, nor right. Perhaps the two yeah. seed. If they lose against Seattle when Aaron can't practice, they're then behind Tampa. They're a 4 seed.
By the way, they're going to be behind Tampa. Tampa's scheduled the rest of the way. They have one team left that you expect to make the playoffs, the Bills. Another game against New Orleans, maybe they will. But those are their only. The third toughest game left for Tampa is Atlanta. This is, and it's unbelievable. I thought you might lead with this, Colin. The biggest winner this weekend of every football player in the world was Tom Brady. He didn't play. Think about it. He's coming off a bad game. But think about Brady and the MVP. All right, well, Josh Allen just was awful. And they lost to the Jags, turned the ball over a bunch. Derrick Henry's done for the year. Dak Prescott was terrible. Aaron Rodgers missed a game. Kyler missed a game, and his team won. Lamar, they won. Lamar wasn't great. Brady, all of a sudden, I think has to be the overwhelming MVP favorite. And with the Cowboys losing and the Packers losing, I think the Rams and Cardinals, I think that schedule for both of them is tough enough that you've got to think Tampa. I feel like Tampa right now, worst case scenario, is 13-4. And it looks like Brady's going to be the MVP and Tampa's going to be the one seed. It's unbelievable. The Bucs don't play this weekend and they're the biggest winners. And Brady's MVP hopes skyrocket this week. All the other MVP candidates plummet. Rodgers missed time. Rodgers can't win it now, even though he looks more like an MVP now than before. Because you saw the Packers without him. No one's going to vote for Rodgers after this. He misses time because of this nonsense.
You know, it's one of those things where You know, I talked about, I was on with Ethan Strauss the other day. He's a,
NBA, he's great.
He's real smart, thoughtful. I don't view him as contrarian, but he has a lot of different views on stuff. In fact, included covering the NBA, but you know, I we were talking about a lot of things and, you know, there's, he like you, he makes me think. And when I was done with the podcast, I went and put something on, you know, my phone for the volume, and that one of the great pieces of advice I once got in my life is there's enough hurdles and obstacles to overcome. Don't get in the way of yourself. Yeah, it's hard enough to overcome the challenges. I really think Aaron has gotten in the way of himself. And Bill Simmons mentioned this to me the other day, is when you get older and you're single, you don't sacrifice for your kids. You don't sacrifice for a wife, being married, having kids. It's a lot of L's. It's a lot of take one for the team. Combine that with Aaron is in the smallest market in America for a pro sports team. So he is a messiah. Combine that with they have no owner to call him on his shit. And that Aaron's gotten into a world where it's Aaron does what Aaron wants. Aaron says what Aaron wants. Aaron has no pushback. And I think he's starting to sort of get in his own way a little bit.
Well, listen, I said this on the show, I think on Thursday, I'm not sure when, and I don't know if you heard it when you were driving in, but I said, I was like, man, Colin's been on this corner for the better part of a half decade, that Aaron Rodgers has an allergy to criticism, and him doing these gymnastics about immunized and the masking at press conferences, all for one express purpose, avoiding criticism, is all the proof you possibly needed that you were right about that. And, you know, and I've gone to battle with you about the Aaron stuff, but this whole thing is such a rough look for him and such. And listen, I obviously think that folks who can be vaccinated should be.
Yeah.
However, the quarterbacks who have chosen not to, it's been a one day if that story, then you move on. Kyrie was a big story because it cost him his season. But in the NFL, those guys have not been. Lamar hasn't been crushed for this. Kirk Cousins, we made fun of him for a little bit because he was talking about like building plexiglass rooms and stuff. But aside from that, that was it. But Aaron didn't even want to deal with that. And it is, to me, all of it shows it does give you a window, and it's not a flattering one. And on the field, if folks want to, you know, don't care about any of the vaccine stuff, just on the field, with the way the Chiefs offense looked today, does anyone think if Aaron Rodgers is out there, the Packers aren't 8-1 right now?
Yeah.
Does anybody think that? And he's not, they weren't, and now they're in, you know, it's an uphill battle. And they likely will have one playoff game in Lambeau this year, and that's it.
Kansas City's interesting. And you see this sometimes, you know, you see these Hollywood couples and you're like, oh, she's beautiful and smart and he's handsome and smart. This should work. And then 18 months later, it's a barnyard musical. We know Andy Reid's smart. Mahomes is great. Spag's been a good DC. Excellent weapons. Travis Kelce, although he had a couple drops today. A lot of these pieces we know are exceptional. We've seen them. And people say, well, Sammy Watkins isn't here. And that's the difference. And I'm like, nah. No, it's not.
It's not because, by the way, Watkins was injured 2/3 of the time before. It would be nice to have a secondary receiver, but that's not the answer.
So when you watch them, you know, Greg Cosell told me about 2 weeks ago, he said he's going to be much harder to coach than Justin Herbert because he has an inclination, and this was the knock on him out of college. He likes the home run. He likes the big hit. He's not overly patient. Mechanically, some of his great gifts come when the mechanics erode, you know, the sidearm stuff.
Yep.
What do you see as somebody that watches every snap, reads everything about the Chiefs? What? Let's not talk defense, because I did think with Clark on the defensive line, they're better. Let's talk offense. What is wrong?
He's second guessing himself, and he's pressing, and he, I mean, The first month of the year when the Chiefs were 2-2, they had a turnover and defense problem, but all the smart numbers were the best offense in football, bar none.
Yes.
The last five games, Colin, They have been held under 21 four times.
Wow.
Up until the last five games, in Mahomes' whole career, it happened three times. Think about that. His whole career, he had been, as of a month ago, he'd been held under 21 three times. The last five games, it's happened four times. He is missing open guys. He's skipping passes. Today, he didn't run the ball once. He would didn't get out of the pocket running. So I think he suffered some bad luck turnover wise early.
Yeah.
And that made him start kind of second guessing a bit. And then even when he was trying to be more conservative, he still made a couple terrible mistakes. And now it feels like instead of playing every single play, you can see the wheels turning, which is why Rodgers, to his credit, oddly enough, on the last interview he did before all the vaccine stuff came out, the COVID stuff came out, he was on McAfee and they asked him about Mahomes struggling. And Rodgers, said, hey, absolutely, quarterbacks can get the yips, can get in a slump. And he's like, and sometimes it just takes one game, one drive. He said, sometimes it just takes one play to get out of it. And so maybe I'm, hopelessly optimistic, but I wonder if that 3rd and 10 game on the line today, that looked very Mahomes.
Yes.
Oh, it's broken down. I'm rolling to the right. And I'm certain he was told before that play, the only thing we can't have is an incompletion. If it's easy, take it. If not, take the sack. Because the sack, the clock runs, you're punting to Jordan Love with a minute 15. The only thing we can't have is an incompletion. And he still ran out to the side, one leg, zipped it to Tyreek. That was a Mahomes play. And I do wonder if that gets him back to it. So I think because he hasn't been himself, he's been the last month, he's been bad. And it's the first time in his career, forget being bad, it's the first month of football he hasn't been outstanding. I'm going to add one other thing. And I want to be gentle with this because I don't know this to be true. I'm just going to present the evidentiary case. So in the last month, his mom has tweeted about Tyreek dropping the football. His brother has been in the news twice.
Yeah.
For stupid stuff. His wife, who they're like grade school sweethearts, been together forever, seems to be very into TikTok and posting videos with Patrick in them, and Patrick doesn't it's kind of semi internet famous now of Patrick just trying to eat some chips and salsa, and his wife and brother doing some TikTok dance. So all that plus new parent, right? Plus for the first time in your career, not playing great. I think it's a lot to deal with.
Yep.
I think all of those things. It's like my family is famous because of me, and they're being a pain in my ass right now with my fame. But these are the people you love most in the world. So, what are you going to do? You're going to tell your wife, your mom, to stop doing stuff? You can probably tell your brother, but nobody, his brother's a teenager, a young 20s kid. His brother's not going to listen to anybody. He's a doofus like we all were when we were that age, right? That's not a criticism. So all that's going on. He's not playing great. And I don't know. Probably sleeping less than he ever has in life because you have a new baby, you have a new kid. That's a thing. And so I think all of this coming at once has led to him not being himself the last month. I still think that he is unanimous that if you were to start a new league and every player would be available, I think all 32 GMs take him first. I still believe that.
Yeah.
But he's got to be better.
By the way, Josh Allen struggled. Brady 2 weeks ago struggled. The shit's hard. By the way, Jalen Hurts in the last couple of weeks has been sort of fascinating and interesting. Let's not bail on him. So,
another team, the Chiefs defense shut down, by the way. Steel Curtain 2.0. Yeah, Eagles shut him down.
So, I think you're right on, by the way, but I do think we have to say there has to be a pause. This stuff is really hard.
It's really hard. Can I ask a question, though, about the NFL right now?
Yeah.
Is anyone in the AFC good? Like, that's kind of what, like, who's good?
It's a great question.
Buffalo's A game is the best. We know that.
Yeah.
But Buffalo last week looked like shit. It was 3-3 at half against Miami. They looked bad last week.
Right.
And this week they lost. They lost a game that you can't lose.
Right.
You just can't lose to the Jags. The Patriots are just feasting. How many awful quarterbacks do they get to play? It's unbelievable what they've done.
You know what it is? Because the NFC has veteran quarterbacks. It's Stafford.
Yeah.
It really is. It's Rodgers.
It's all veteran quarterbacks and Kyler.
Right.
It's all veterans and Kyler.
In the AFC, it's all brilliant young quarterbacks.
Young guys.
And they are brilliant. But guess what? Peyton Manning year four was awful in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this roller coaster. Well, he's one of my favorite people that I've ever worked with. Dave Wannstedt, former Bear and Dolphin coach, Fox NFL analyst, Cowboy defensive coordinator for Super Bowl 27 win, a Pittsburgh head coach for half a decade. I would lose a game to find a franchise quarterback every day of the week. I thought it was one of the great days. Take away the Super Bowl year. I thought it was one of the great days for the Bears in a decade. I really did.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you are right along with all the fellow Chicagoans, because I did two shows this morning, two radio shows, actually one radio, one TV. And the city is excited. You would have thought that we won by 14 points. And I think everything is predicated on, do we have a quarterback? Yes, we do. Now the question is, will we be able to develop him to a level of an Aaron Rodgers, to the way Patrick Mahomes was, to a Tom Brady? You know, will this kid be able to take the next step, the next step, the next step? But the best thing about last night, and I've coached in Three River Stadium, and to go in there on a Monday night, I mean, they start drinking that Iron City beer at noon in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I've been there. I've done that too. Okay. So, I mean, the terrible towels were out, and it is a deafening crowd from a noise standpoint. And this kid never flinched. That's what I took away from the game, from as big a positive as some of the throws he made. Now, you know, he's completed 9 out of 10 passes when he's been on the move.
Yeah.
And they moved him out. They ran some wildcat. At from time to time, they chipped on TJ Watt. So the game plan is starting, and I'm going to give him credit, starting to do a few things to give him an opportunity to be successful. How, what, I don't know. But and I think the defense responded. The defense didn't play great, but let's be real. The Steelers had 4.1 yards a play. They won the game, but, I mean, that's run and pass combined for our listeners now. I mean, 4 yards a play, that so the defense – I think when he plays good, everybody sees an opportunity to win, and they rally to run.
You know, Dave, one of the things I said, though, about the game plan, and a lot of people on Twitter were ripping Nagy, and I said, listen, with Trubisky, I felt the offense was always all smoke and mirrors. And what it did, it fooled people into believing Mitch could be a big-time franchise quarterback. There was some deception in the game plan, but I also felt Nagy, Dave, there were multiple times on third down, he said, hey, kid, straight drop, make a throw. Because let's be honest, you know it and I know it. Lamar Jackson's growth has been the ability to make that throw. And with Trubisky, I felt they were babying him, even in year 2 and 3. I felt there were moments last night against Pittsburgh where they were like, we're doing a straight drop. This is 11 personnel. Go make the play. And I think that's healthy. I don't think everything should be deception, because I think Justin, unlike Trubisky, I think Justin has a great arm. I really do.
Yeah, he does. And I would agree with you. The good thing that they did last night, though, I think that a lot of those conversions, they ran the ball with Montgomery and Herbert. I mean, they were committed to running, you know, 20-some times a game. That's where it should be. And so I think they were trying to keep the third downs manageable, and they seem to be that way. I mean, other than the penalties, most of them being on defense, you know, he had a lot of third down and 5s and third down and 4s where in the back of his mind, there were run pass options and the defense knew that. And boy, that stresses the defense when they get to defend that. So I thought it worked out good. Now we'll see what they do. I mean, I tell you what, everything, and I'll tell you what I like. They rolled out, you mentioned that, Colin, two weeks ago or a week ago, the Chiefs were on, it was Monday night or Sunday night. And that comment, it was Monday, because it was Brian Griese made the comment on Monday Night Football. Andy Reid does not like the rollout pass, doesn't believe in it. And as we all know, Matt Nagy, I mean, he's Andy Reid. Okay, that's the only guy he really references from, you know, being at the Eagles in Kansas City and on and on and on. Well, now, all of a sudden, I kind of see him, you know, Kansas City's offense is like we did when we were kids. Go out for a pass, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, everybody wave and throw me the ball.
Right.
And Mahomes throws it up for grabs. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know what's happened, but they have lost it. So I see Matt Nagy starting to turn a little bit and his coaches and trying to get, I think, their own offensive identity. And I really like that.
So when I watch the Cowboys just get the living hell kicked out of them.
Oh, boy. Let me take a sip of this Terry Bradshaw bourbon on that. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever have, because I still think Dallas is really good. Dave, go to all your years coaching. Miami with Jimmy. Let's keep it to the pro years. Did you ever go into a game, you were a huge favorite, and you knew after the first quarter, this is a street fight, and we didn't bring our gloves. Have you ever, and you love the game plan, and you love the week of practice. Did you have those?
Oh, yeah. I think that every coach does. You know, it's a, excuse me, it's a trap game, as we call it. And, you know, the toughest game, but I always said this, when coaches earn their money, it's with the games when their team's winning and they're playing opponent that's a lesser opponent. That's when you really have to earn your money as a head coach. I mean, you know, when the Cowboys are playing the Rams, come on. I mean, the guy selling popcorn is motivated. You don't, there's nothing there going on. I mean, from a head coach's standpoint, but when you are playing a lesser opponent and you are favored, that's the game that you got to really find a way between your senior leaders to get motivated. I've been there. I mean, it's I remember a game where we were playing the Giants. I was at Dallas and I was a defensive coordinator and Phil Simms was hurt. And God, I can't remember the backup, but we were a good favorite. Okay. So we're going to win the game. Everybody's talking that way. We were thinking that way. And we went up there and every pass that they threw was completed. And so I just start Rolodexing through the game plan and we cannot stop them. And Jimmy comes on the headset and says something to the effect, well, what do we got? How are we going to stop them? And I'm looking down at the game plan and I said, Coach, we're out. We are out of bullets. We got nothing else left. So just someone's got to, you know, bust a Gatorade table or punch a blackboard or do something because we don't have any defenses that can stop these guys. And, you know, it wasn't about talent. It was all about just mindset. And so, yes, I have been in those games. And unless you are super talented and you can get it turned somehow, but if the competition is close and you fall into that trap, you got no chance. Got no chance.
All right, my buddy Chad Millman, every Friday, Chief Content Officer, Action Network. I would take the Saints +3 at the Titans. Now, that sounds crazy, but this is going to be a very, very low scoring football game with two very, very good pass rushes, two excellent defenses. Like right now, the Titans defense is we bring four, we don't blitz, we mix up man and zone in the back end, and it's very effective. I think this is an ugly game. I think the Saints have been a team that you don't quite know what you're getting, and they were completely outplayed by Atlanta. Disregard the score. They were absolutely outplayed by Atlanta. The Titans come off a wildly dramatic win, feeling themselves a little bit. Saints +3 feels like the play to me.
Yeah, I love this one. This is completely sharp. So sharp, in fact, that it's moved from Saints plus three to Saints plus 2.5. Full disclosure, I still bet it at Saints plus 2.5. This, you talked about overreaction earlier. This is the overreaction game of the week. And like, I'm looking at the numbers right now at actionnetwork.com. I can see the bets completely coming in on the Titans, and yet the line moved in the direction of the Saints. It's called a reverse line move. That tells you that the professional bettors are coming in on the Saints. Total overreaction. And it's because, look, the Titans had a fluky win against the Colts. The Titans did not look impressive against the Rams. Matthew Stafford just looked bad against the Titans. And this is where, like, the underlying metrics really get interesting. DVOA, very fancy way of saying this is how teams are judged based on their effectiveness on each play against the league average. So overall, Titans are 14th in DVOA. Saints are 8th. On offense, they're both middle of the pack, 16th and 17th respectively. On defense, Titans are 10th, Saints are 3rd. You could argue the Saints have the best defense in the NFL right now, and the Titans' rush defense is at the bottom of the league. So you can expect more Taysom Hill, more run packages, an elite offensive line that can protect Trevor Siemian on short passes where he's effective against a not very good pass defense. And then you've got Sean Payton, who I think has the coaching edge over Mike Vrabel, second most profitable coach against the spread since 2003, coming off of a loss.
I think Green Bay matches up brilliantly with Seattle. I think Seattle's number one issue is a playmaking safety who can't cover in space Jamal Adams and bad corners. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the few quarterbacks in the league that could be in on Zoom meetings, not practice, and be fine. I think Green Bay matches up very well with Seattle. Now, I will say Russell Wilson has been a very good road quarterback. And Russell Wilson, remember when Drew Brees got hurt, came back, and looked better and had a stronger arm? Russell just got a month sabbatical in the middle of the season. So part of me thinks Russell Wilson's coming back here with so much energy, and they're going to go on a roll now against the Green Bay team that's had a noisy week. But man, I love the way Green Bay's offense matches up with Seattle. What's the sharp side?
The sharp side is Seattle plus 3.5. And the line has been moving down. It was at 5. It got down to 4.5. Then it got down to 4. Now it's at 3.5. I think there's a large sentiment that likes Russell Wilson coming back for what you said, and that he's just not a quarterback who gets blown out. And in a game like this where Green Bay's defense has been overperforming against the stats that they've had throughout the year, so there's a little bit of a regression coming there. A big factor is Aaron Rodgers. You say he can work on his couch, watch film, do whatever. We've seen in the past, like, we don't know how athletes react to COVID yet. And while Aaron Rodgers is certainly a critical thinker, is his body going to be as different as his mind when he comes back from COVID? Cam Newton did not perform well coming back from COVID.
True.
Literally takes your breath away. Lamar Jackson had a hard time coming back from COVID. We looked in the NBA. Jason Tatum, when he had COVID last year, had a hard time recovering for the Celtics. It impacts your lungs. So I am not convinced that if Aaron Rodgers is back, that he's going to be at peak level, even if he is on the field. So for me, Russell Wilson coming back, Aaron Rodgers questionable to coming back, but after an illness that was really unpredictable, I like the Seahawks and so do the wise guys.
All right, give me the game I haven't talked about you're interested in.
Niners?
Oh, no.
Hosting.
I like the Niners plus 4. I do.
All right. Well, we didn't talk about it. So I'm telling you, this is the one that's on the board for me that we didn't talk about. This game, most wise guys have this game power rated at Niners minus 1. So you're getting like 5 to 5.5 points of value on a Niners team that is continuing to get healthy and is just fluky, right? They lost last week because they had so many freaking turnovers. So when we do sharp calls on the favorites podcast, this was the game all the wise guys talked about between Tuesday and Thursday. They're like, we love the Niners. We love the Niners. It was the game that was getting bet the most on Sunday night when lines first opened. So a lot of conversation in the wise guy community about the Niners plus 4.
Well, you know, the other thing, Shanahan's had McVay's number a little. OBJ now to the Rams. I wonder if they just waste time putting in packages a couple of days this week. I honestly think about that.
You could see it, right? You could totally see, like, they're overexcited for their new toy. How are we going to take advantage of it? We're going to be the ones who are smarter than everybody else. How much talent have you seen in your life in media, now running a media operation? Oh, this guy's so good. Nobody else knows how to manage him. I can figure it out. Doesn't really work out like that. People are who they are. Bill Belichick is the only person in history who's been able to bring malcontent talent and turn it into something that works within a framework of the team. And it's because he had Tom Brady. Matthew Stafford is not Tom Brady. I would be shocked if OBJ turns into the long-term Hall of Famer because he's on the Rams.
At the Volume Sports YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. We'll talk soon.
The Volume.